Please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke again. And this time we will read from the verses 21 to 35. Luke chapter 2, 21 to 35. After that, we will confess our faith. And after that, let us sing from Psalter number 394. So let's hear God's holy word then, as we will read from Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 21 to 35. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angels before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So far, God's holy word. Variation, our text is found here in the passage that we have just read, Luke chapter 2, and then the verses 34 and 35. Verses 34 and 35 of Luke chapter 2, God's holy word. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So far then, the word of God in our text. And let us now confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, and let us say in our hearts, I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe one holy Catholic Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what was the reason for Christ's birth? Or, let me put the question in a little bit different way. What was God's intended purpose for sending His Son into this world? Well, certainly, and I think the boys and girls will be able to say that certainly, that is in order that the Son may work salvation for people. And of course, we know this well-known verse as well, and no doubt you will be able to recite it with me from John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life." And after all, Christ Himself has declared that as well, that He has come to seek and to save the lost. But having said that, and it is certainly good to bring that across, but having said that, we have not said everything yet about God's intended purpose for sending His Son into this world. And dear people, this is where Simeon's prophecy comes into the picture for us. What Simeon has declared in the words of our text. The Holy Spirit, you see, has given Simeon profound insights into the intended purpose for Christ being born on this earth. And I would like to explore that with you with the help of the Holy Spirit. And so we have our text before us. And let us then consider these words in the following way. Christ's birth according to Simeon. And of course we know that Simeon has been enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Christ's birth according to Simeon. In the first place, for a twofold purpose. Secondly, as a sign spoken against. And then thirdly, to reveal the thoughts of the heart. So first then, for a twofold purpose. And that is what we need to see clearly in the first place. Now, congregation, Joseph and Mary met Simeon, in the temple in Jerusalem. According to Leviticus chapter 12, this must have been about 40 days after the birth of Christ. They were there in order to present the Christ child to the Lord and to offer some sacrifices as it is specified by Moses. Simeon was taken by the Holy Spirit to be there as well, and he met Joseph and Mary and the Christ child. And the Holy Spirit had a specific task for Simeon. It was the task of declaring the reason for Christ's birth. And with great insight given to him by the Holy Spirit, Simeon declared God's intended purpose for the Christ child to be sent into the world. It is, I must say, a profound declaration. And the drama surrounding it as well is rather moving, I would think. We read, for instance, in verse 28, that Simeon took the child up in his arms and he blessed God for the privilege of being able to do so. And he said, as it were, "Lord God, that's now I can die." He had his dream fulfilled, so to speak. So, having done this, having taken up this child in his arms, he declared then also the child's purpose for being sent into the world, as we have it here in our text. He looked at Mary, and he said to her, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel." Now, what did Simeon mean by that, you might ask? Well, there have been different interpretations about this. One of the interpretations is as follows. Some have interpreted this as a prophecy of the work of salvation in the heart and life of a believer. They interpret the words, "This child is destined for the fall of many in Israel," as the falling of a believer in humility of repentance for the sins he or she has committed. Falling. By this interpretation, falling then is a good thing because it is part of the all-around worship of God. Whoever does not humble himself Whoever does not fall in repentance before God cannot ever hope to be forgiven of his or her sin. And then by the same token, the word, this child is destined for the rising of many in Israel. Well, according to that interpretation, that will refer to the believer rising by the strength of his faith in Christ to eventual assurance of salvation. In other words, by this particular interpretation, the believer's necessary response to the gospel is described for us. His falling and his rising. Or as the Bible would say it elsewhere, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I must admit, there is something attractive about this particular interpretation. Because, after all, when you are confronted by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only God-pleasing response is falling and rising again. That is, in humbling yourselves and then reaching up in trusting Christ, repenting and believing. And so, in that sense, yes, that would be a marvelous thing. And it's understandable that some have interpreted these verses that way. And yet, this is not the meaning of the Holy Spirit in relation to these Bible verses. Dear people, the meaning here is far more stark and sharp and cutting, and it is as follows. The purpose of Christ's birth is that some would stumble and fall over him, while others would rise through him. John Calvin, who we follow quite closely, and we believe that he has good insight in Scripture, John Calvin interprets this passage by explaining that Christ was appointed for the ruin and for the resurrection of many in Israel. In other words, Christ will be like a stone which some will trip over and fall and perish and come to ruin, but by which others will rise and be saved. Now, let's just look at those two responses one at a time for a moment. One of the reasons for Christ being born is, as John Calvin teaches us, that he was divinely appointed to cast down and to destroy many. And this fact, of course, has been prophesied already earlier in the Old Testament in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 14, that the Lord would actually be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both houses of Israel as a trap and as a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. That's prophesied in the Old Testament already. Now, dear people, this is nothing less than a prophecy of the ruin of unbelievers. The Christ child has come for their fall. In other words, those who imagine themselves to be strong and independent and who feel that they can do as they like and rely then also on their own abilities as well and have no desire whatsoever to give the Lord Jesus Christ any sort of thought or place their trust in Him will come to woeful ruin and fall. Blinded by their pride, they will fall, and they fail to see their need, and they will turn down all offers to find refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Christ child has come then for their fall. That is the one side. The other purpose for which Christ was born is quite the opposite. That is, He has come for the rising or for the resurrection of many, as John Calvin calls it. And the Apostle Peter, he speaks of that as well, doesn't he? In 1 Peter chapter 2, the verses 6 and 7. Speaking there of Christ, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious." In other words, this is then the other purpose for the birth of the Christ child. And it is, I would say, a most encouraging purpose, namely that those who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be raised from their death of sin. They will be raised to newness of life. They will be raised to an eternity of blessed fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christ child has then come for their rising. Now Simeon, he could prophesy this twofold purpose of the Christ child already while he held the little babe in his arms. "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel." His coming to this world had as a twofold purpose that he would be for the fall of many, but also for the rising of many in Israel. And we also know that this twofold purpose of the coming of the Christ child cannot ever be undone, because there is no escape to a third possibility. He was appointed either for the fall of many or for the rising of many. Now, if you accept this interpretation of our text, as I have tried to lay it out for you, I believe that it also warrants some sober lessons and some application as well. And let me explain. When you are confronted by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are confronted with a divine and with a spiritual influence that will not leave you unaffected. No one can remain neutral or maintain a neutral attitude towards the Lord Jesus Christ. You will end up either for him or against him. And this is where the Christ child is, there is with the Christ child a power that is always in operation. With the word of the Christ child, there is a power in operation. He, the Christ child, he is destined, he is appointed to accomplish the falling or the rising, the ruin or the resurrection of many to whom he is known. And therefore remember, dear people, never will you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ without it doing something to you. You either trip up, or you will rise under such hearing. C.H. Spurgeon, he said something like this: "There is never a proclamation of Jesus Christ which leaves men precisely where they were. The gospel is sure to have some effect upon those who hear it." And my friend, this leads to a conclusion that is inescapable. There is no neutral ground in respect to Christ and his gospel. Do not think that you can remain neutral as you come away from this particular message this hour. And if perhaps you leave this place of worship feeling indifferent to what you have heard, remember, it is not mere indifference, but it is a progression towards your fall and a step closer to your ruin. Therefore, as you hear the word of the Lord Jesus Christ this hour, dear people, and you feel rather cold indifference towards this word, let this alarm you. Let it alarm you that it is not yet well with you, and let such alarm then take you in prayer to God. And so you see, you and I, we need to be honest with each other. We need to be honest with Him, that is, with God. We need to tell Him, if that is necessary, and if we are called to do so, and if we feel that we are still indifferent, we are to tell Him that I am still indifferent, O God, to Your Word. You are to tell Him then that your heart is still cold towards the Word, and that you also suspect that it will grow colder as time goes on if nothing changes. You are to ask God for His mercy, that He would melt your cold, cold heart. So you see, my friend, God is busy reaching out to you through the Word that is being proclaimed. Consider it therefore as an indication that He wants you to rise. He wants you to be raised to spiritual life. And you who know yourselves to be down and out and fallen into sin, just listen to the Word of the Gospel. Christ was born for the purpose of the raising of many. And He will only raise, He will only lift those who admit that they are fallen. He will only be the resurrection of those who have learned to confess before God that they are indeed dead in sin and trespasses, as the Bible itself teaches. And therefore, hear the Gospel of the Christ child, dear people. He was brought into the temple of Jerusalem so that He could be declared also to you this hour as well, that He was appointed not only for the fall of many, but also for the rising of many. Allow the Gospel Word to sink into your hearts, to sink into the very conscience of your life, dear people. Do not resist that Word of God any longer as it moves you to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, now for the first time perhaps, that you would look to Him. And looking at Him is what we will do, as we want to speak about Him in the second place, as a sign, as a sign. Now, dear people, Christ's coming into this world was not mere coincidence of little importance. He did not come into this world as you and I did. Oh yes, he was born of a woman. He was born of a woman, the Virgin Mary. But unlike you and me, He was sent into this world by God as a sign. As a sign. And what was the Christ child a sign of then, you might ask? Well, of several things. We heard it already. He came into this world for the ruin and for the resurrection of many in Israel. In other words, He came as a sign of division and a sign of separation. Some would come to ruin for rejecting Him. Others would come to rise and be resurrected through believing in Him. We've heard that already. But the Christ child would be a sign of some other things as well. He would be a sign of divine love, you see. And I remind you again of the text that I have just quoted in the introduction, as we read it from John chapter 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. The Christ child, dear people, came to this world as a sign of the love of God. A love which does not take pleasure in sinners coming to ruin. In Christ you can see the love of God the Father in full bloom, so to speak. A love that actually yearns to welcome home prodigal sons and daughters. In Christ, the Father shows His love by sending His only begotten Son into this world, giving Him up in order to be sacrificed for the sins of people like you and me. As such, the Christ child is a sign of divine love. But, as Simeon has predicted, the Christ child would be a sign which will be spoken against. In other words, there will be people who will not accept Christ as such a sign. There will be people who will actually reject the love of God. There will be people who will spurn the overtures of love and think nothing of this divine love at all, which led God to giving His Son, which led the Son to giving Himself. They will think nothing of it. There will be people that will be speaking against Christ, the sign of divine love, because they are under some sort of a delusion. And what sort of delusion might that be? Well, it could be the delusion that divine love would give them everything they wanted, and so, yes, therefore it's mine. They were led to believe that divine love would do things that they would like to see done in their life. They thought that divine love would be the ticket for no sickness and for no pain and for no difficulties and for no poverty or whatever that is negative in this life. And then when divine love did not come across for them in that way, in the way they thought it should, they've turned against it. And they have begun to speak against that sign. There's another thing that the Christ child would be a sign of. And that again is positive. He would be a sign of salvation itself. And as you know, salvation can only be found through Jesus Christ. The Bible says this very clearly in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ, and particularly Christ on the cross, is the greatest sign that the world has ever received that symbolizes salvation. Christ on the cross. Christ Himself has often enough urged that we, you and I, would look to Him. To Him crucified. And that we would be saved from our sins by looking to Him. And He has declared this very clearly, that He alone must be considered to be the only legitimate sign of salvation. And if we would look in faith to Him, we would be saved. But again, as old Simeon has declared it, the Christ child would be a sign which will be spoken against. And the world has spoken against it. I was informed last week that the American Atheist Society has posted a large billboard in Times Square, New York. It has two pictures on it, side by side, of Santa Claus and of Christ on the cross. And underneath it, the caption, "Keep the Mary, dump the myth." That means, dear people, that the world has rejected the sign of the Christ child altogether, including that of His crucifixion and sacrifice. Man thinks that he himself can arrange his own salvation. Some think that they will be able to obtain salvation by humanitarian deeds. Some think that they will obtain salvation by the performance of certain religious rites and ceremonies. Others think that they will get salvation, that salvation will, as it were, be foisted upon them because they are naturally good and reasonable and kind and generous people. Still others are duped into thinking that the bliss of salvation will come to them by so-called heroic acts such as suicide bombings. But all of them, one way or another, have spoken against the sign, against the Christ child, dear people, and against all that relates to Him. And so therefore, do not let this particular prediction of Simeon materialize in your life. Do not reject the sign of the Christ child and His sacrifice. Do not turn away from His word. Do not turn away from His word of divine love. But also do not turn away from His word of divine warning. Do not speak against Him in any way as He speaks of salvation. May you never be caught or catch yourself speaking against this sign, dear people. Not even secretly. Not even in the depths of your heart. Why do I say this? Because as I must speak of that in the last place, God has a way of reading and revealing the thoughts of your and my heart. This takes me to verse 35 of my text, where we read the following. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now here, Simeon said something to Mary which would personally affect her. And I'll say something about that in a few moments. But first, the words, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, which could easily be directly connected to what has been said already. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. In other words, a person can never remain a secret opponent or a secret follower of Christ. Let me repeat that. A person can never remain a secret opposer or a secret follower of Christ. The term secret is important here. You see, when the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is declared in the congregation, as you've heard already, it always does something. The word of the gospel, you see, always has some sort of an effect. The Bible tells us that God's word never returns void in accomplishing something. It always does something. It either has a hardening effect in your life, or it has a breaking and a softening and a melting effect in your life. Why is that? Well, because this word that you hear is simply not a story that has been spun by some man for some sort of entertainment for a while. Nothing of the sort, dear people. But this is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is the word of the Christ child. It is the word of the living God that comes to you and to me this hour as well. And that is a word that works. It's a word that works. And it works either a fall and a ruin or a rising and a resurrection. It makes enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, or it makes friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as such, it will become evident whether you are still an enemy or a friend of Christ. The word of the Christ child will reveal the thoughts of the heart. And so, my friend, how has the gospel affected you? How has the gospel affected you? It has done something this hour as well. It has done something. You may be able to hide the effects of the word from man, but you cannot keep it hidden from God. You might pretend to be unaffected, but God knows the thoughts of your heart. You might pretend to be religious, that God knows by the thoughts of your heart that though you call yourself religious, you still have no interest in Christ. You see, dear people, hypocrisy might work amongst men, but God sees it for what it is. And therefore, if that happens to be the case with you, repent of your hypocrisy. Become honest before the Lord our God. Plead for His mercy even at this moment and ask Him to turn you from being an enemy to being a friend of Christ. Or, it could be the opposite. That the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is a wonderful opposite, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has touched you in a love-stirring way. And I hope and pray that that is the case with all who have heard the word of the gospel this day. And so, my dear brother, my dear sister, if that is the case, do not keep it hidden. Do not keep such love stirring just to yourself. Speak of them. Speak of them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as every thought of your heart is being revealed, tell Christ about it. And if the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has affected you in a positive and in a rising way, let it be known to others as well. Let it be known that you are on Christ's side, that you are a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't be shy to say that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Simeon, he had a profound insight into the reason for the birth of Christ. For those who rejected Him, it was ruinous. For those who believed in Him, it was resurrective. As a sign spoken against Him, and others spoke in favor of Him. Now, dear people, where do you stand in reference to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you for Him? Or are you against Him? Again, I repeat, there's no neutrality here. No neutrality at all. And remember as well, God knows the thoughts of your heart. Boys and girls, young people, understand this. God knows what you are thinking at this very moment. He knows precisely what you are thinking. He knows precisely what you would want to say. He knows precisely that you say, "Man, I want to get out of here." Or, "I should have listened earlier already." God knows exactly what you're thinking. Finally, what about this sword piercing through Mary's soul? What's that all about? Well, this happened particularly, as we believe, when Christ was on the cross. When Mary stood there as well, at a distance, and she saw what mankind has done to Christ, and how they have continued to speak against Him. Then a sword went through Mary's soul. There's an application here. Dear young people, here is a mother's heart that was pierced by a sword. Now, I trust, young people, that you all can say that, yes, you have godly parents, and thank God for that. And you can say that. But there's a caution. In fact, I would say, beware. Do not let a sword pierce through the hearts of your mom and dad, through your hearts of your parents. If by chance you would happen to think about rejecting or speaking Christ, against Christ, or by dumping Christ as a myth, you'll pierce the heart and the soul of your mom and dad. Think of that. Therefore, rise and shine, dear people. Rise and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may know that He will then also raise you. In fact, He will raise you beyond anything that the world can offer. And what the world can offer is that needs to be dumped. But Christ offers eternal bliss, eternal heavenly joy. And you know what? That can be enjoyed already on this earth. I do not need to say any more. Amen. Return out to your homes and receive the blessings of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and remain with you all. Amen.